Get Talent Podcast.
So we're just actually going to just talk about things we know from now on.
That works. Okay.
Sounds like a good idea. We should try it.
I think that'll work.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Get Talent Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cross, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danny Herskowitz. Hey, Danny, how you doing today?
Doing great. Doing really good. Excited for the long weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. It's Labor Day weekend. Getting ready. But hey, before that, we got some work to do.
We do. Always.
Always. Always working over here at Glomo. But we've got a podcast to do today, and we're going to switch it up a little bit, Danny. We are going to talk about things we know.
What?
That's a great idea. That's the best idea.
A novel approach. We specialize in the global mobility industry, right? That's relocation, immigration, and tax for expats, right? The mobile workforce.
That's right.
And one of the most common roles we get is relocation consultants. So we thought, you know what? Why don't we just tell people how to hire amazing relocation consultants? And we're going to start with international relocation consultants. Danny, how many of these roles do you see?
We see so many of these roles. I've been working in recruiting global mobility, as you know, for almost 10 years now. And when I first started and up until this day, I still work for my clients on relocation consultant positions. And for the most of my career, that was the majority of the positions I worked on. So I would say I've seen so many hundreds of those throughout my career, and especially here. I mean, that's, I would say probably more than half of our work is relocation consultants.
That's really amazing.
Yeah, it's probably the most common role type in the largest clients that we have, relocation management companies, yeah. Right? So we're going to focus today on the international relocation consultant. And what are some of the different job titles that this job has in our industry? Because we don't make things easy in this business, okay? We call right. people all sorts of crazy stuff. So yeah. What are some of the job titles you've seen out there for basically the same role, international relocation consultant?
Yeah, I see a few of them. So the first one that we typically see is relocation consultant. That's probably the most common one. They're referred to as a consultant. Another title we see is counselor, relocation Ooh. Consultant, a counselor. Right. We will see an international assignment manager.
Yes.
International.
I've seen account executive use.
Account executive, international, right? International relocation manager.
I've seen international assignment consultant use.
Yes. Yeah. Every type of, combination.
Here's one for you. Here's a fun one. Envoy.
Wow.
Yes. I've seen that one too.
I've seen Envoy. That's I nice thought one. I was checking into the Marriott.
Right.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of things that these folks are called. But first, we need to know what we're actually talking about. So those are the different names out there. Tell people out there, what does the international relocation consultant role do? And how is it maybe different from, say, a domestic?
Yeah. Simply, international consultants will work with transferees that are moving internationally across the world. Outside of the U.S. And
a lot of times those transferees are actually called assignees.
Assignees,
because
right.
the nature of their assignment may or may not be permanent.
Right, exactly. That's a good point. So that's generally what they're called. And then
what types of services do they coordinate?
They coordinate all aspects of the move for their assignees from an international perspective. They will look at things like immigration, compensation, tax, payroll, a whole number of different areas as it relates to that.
Yeah. And so one of the differences I see between the international and the domestic side is international is also going to be working with DSPs, destination service providers.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Who are going to be your lifeline on the ground as an assignee. You get to, Prague and you don't know anything and they're taking you around and they're functioning in a lot of ways as kind of how the realtor functions in the United States. right? They're taking you around doing area tours, kind of showing you different areas, showing you places you could live. You know, maybe they're taking you to the, or to the what I would call the DMV, right? The Department of Motor Vehicles, getting that driver's license, and you know, really acquainting you to the area so you know where you actually are. And you can go to the bank and you can open a bank account. I mean, all those things. So that's really the set of problems that assignees face on during international assignments.
Right.
And that's really what the international assignment coordinator or international assignment consultant, whatever they may be called, does. What kinds of skills do you look for, Danny, when people say, hey, I need to hire, you know, three of these international assignment consultants or international relocation consultants? What kind of skills are you looking for, or what kind of qualifications are you looking for?
Oh, yeah.
So really our goal is to hire industry professionals for our clients, right? So people coming from another RMC or another, maybe a corporate role where they've done international mobility or global mobility. We look to find people that have experience working. So typically our clients for a relocation or international relocation consultant position will be with an RMC. And we look to find candidates that have experience working as an international consultant at another RMC, doing the same thing.
So they've either worked for an RMC, they've worked for on the corporate side, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I've also seen successfully, and this really is about the client that they're going to, right?
Yeah.
And what their expectations are.
Yeah.
But I've also seen destination service consultants successfully transfer into this type of a role.
Depends on the client, if they're willing to train and have the ability to teach them, you know, all the different nuances.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, those folks could be really, really good as well. From a qualification standpoint, you know, do you see CRP, GMS, those certifications being important?
GMS is definitely looked upon very highly when it comes to an international consultant.
Okay. So not required, but...
Not required. They won't, you know, I've sent some great candidates that don't necessarily have that, and they've had great careers and done well, but I think it makes a big difference.
And for those of you out there who don't know, GMS is the Global Mobility Specialist designation. We have people with that designation at our company as well. And that really focuses more on the global assignment, whereas the CRP that I mentioned before, which is the Certified Relocation Professional, it sounds kind of similar. The CRP really focuses more on the domestic home sale consultant, which we'll talk about in another episode.
Exactly.
I got it.
Yeah, really, really interesting. You know what else I find? I really like to present candidates who have global experience, who have lived abroad. Maybe they're expatriates themselves.
Yeah, and I feel like that too.
I love those candidates.
I like that too. I think those are the best conversations I have, are people that have done the moves themselves. Have, you know, and that's another thing. I mean, just to jump a little bit is empathy, right? That's a huge part of being a consultant. And I think someone that's been in the transferees or signees shoes, that's going to make them really, really valuable as a consultant to a company.
That's really amazing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So now let's talk about, where do you find these people? Where should hiring managers be looking for these international consultants?
Yeah, first place is Glomo.
Oh my God.
Us.
100%. But why? We laugh. Yeah. Why? Why can't you just go on Indeed and post an ad?
You can, you know, you can. And you might get lucky and you might find some people on Indeed. The thing is we always talk about this. A lot of people don't realize that there are nuances in all these different jobs, especially being as opposed to an international or domestic consultant. And people that don't have experience in this area, they're not going to understand what that profile looks like. So they need somebody who's dealt with it for, you know, speaking with these people every single day to kind of differentiate what that right profile looks like. And that's why they you know, our clients work with us because we know that. And we also have a network of those people. I mean, that's what we're doing every day. So
we've got hundreds of resumes for these types of people in our database. We've screened them. We've talked to them. They're great. We've got resumes. And, you know, I think that's probably the first thing is we're doing this every single day. We've got multiple recruiters working on these. So that's first. If someone, for some reason, does not want to use Glomo to work on this, what advice would you give them on how to find an international assignment consultant?
I would say there's a couple things you can do. Networking, of course. That's, you know, going out to your network, going out to colleagues that you have, and seeing who they know in the industry who are really good consultants. But the thing is, we talk about this, right? The challenge you're going to have there is, you know, sometimes as a relocation consultant, you know, you are kind of in your own sort of special role in the company, right? You tend to kind of work, not isolated, but, you know,
focused.
Really,
you kind of tend to focus
on. That's the right word. Really,
you have all these files to manage. You got 100 files you got to manage or whatever. You're focused on making sure, you know, Jane Doe gets to Lisbon, you know, on time and in one piece and ready to work, right?
Yeah.
And you're not thinking about networking with Sally over here or, goodness forbid, Joe, who works at a different company.
Right.
You know, you're not scouring LinkedIn every day. You know, Ben Cross's cool content.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You know, which you probably should be, you know, Sally. But anyway, you know, they're just, they're head down. Yeah. They're in the files, you know, they're living the lives of these assignees. And so they're not super great networkers. So you're not going to find these people for the most part at your local relocation council. You're just not, you know, they're not taking a half day to go hear some tax expert and get some, you know, free, you know, champagne. And heavy hors d'oeuvres somewhere.
Right.
You know, they got work to do.
What the?
They got work. Exactly. They're busy, right? You know? They're always working.
Yeah. So I think LinkedIn is a great place to find them, but I don't know. It's really hard to get them to communicate with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we message dozens of people on LinkedIn in order to get a few really good candidates, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a significant time. We're all day we're talking to people. Right. And it's really hard to get a hold of them. We got, you know, this amazing database. We've also got a lot of contact information that, you know, people aren't really, you know, people don't have those resources. So we're able to do that. I would say also, you know, if you are within, say, an RMC now, you know, I think your existing colleagues are good referral sources.
Yeah.
You know, you can definitely put a little flyer up in the break room. Hey, refer your friend, make $500.
Yeah.
You can do that. And that's not bad. You know, they probably worked at somewhere before, you know, 5-10 years ago, and they know somebody from back in the day. But these people aren't necessarily going to be flooding your inbox with great qualified candidates. Just not in their DNA.
How sweet.
So that's why it's important, I think, a lot of times to use a recruitment partner to do that kind of work for you. Because this role right here, the most popular role in the business, is probably one of the hardest to fill.
Ooh.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
And a lot of recruitment firms don't even want to mess with it. Like, oh, those folks don't make enough money. We don't want to spend the time on it, whatever. And so, so that's another reason they're hard even to find a good recruitment partner to work on. How do you know, though, Danny, all of this outreach, all of this time spent talking to all these candidates, vetting them down, how do you get down to those one or two amazing candidates that you want to submit? How do you know they're the one?
You did it.
Yeah, we've seen this, right? You never know.
Huh?
You really never know if someone's going to work out 100%, right? But, you know, we've done this for long enough that we see things that, you know, that have worked. And
well, you say you never know 100%, and you're right about that. But how many don't work out?
Let's do this.
Maybe out of every 10, maybe one, you know?
Less than that, even.
Less,
we've
right?
We've had two people out of 50. So we've placed probably 50 people in the last 9 months. We've had two not work out. So that's 4%, 4 per 100.
Yeah. So we know.
Yeah. So what are you looking for? What gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling?
I'm looking, you know, for me, I'm looking for a few things. The first thing I'm looking for is what you were talking about before, empathy. So I'm not even talking about the skill set right now. I'm just talking about once I know that they have the experience, right? That's mm-hmm. that's a given. You know, looking for someone who has empathy, that's is huge. Someone who's either been an assignee themselves. You can tell by the way that they care for their candidates, by the way they're transferees, by the way that they talk about their process, the way that they take pride in their work and the work that they do for the people that they've helped.
That's a great point. I like to ask questions like, tell me a story of a difficult time an assignee was having and how you handled it.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
And you can tell when they tell that story, A, you can see the passion come across, mm-hmm. right? B, you can see how emotionally invested they were and how detail-oriented they were, how many details they're providing. And then you can see, hopefully, they're going to talk specifically about the actions that they took to rectify the situation. Oh, I reached out to the moving company, or I reached out to the immigration provider. You know, I did this and that. I made sure the DSP was there on the weekend, and you know, the baby was coming and we had to find a hospital. Like, these are the kinds of stories you start to hear when you talk to these international assignment consultants.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. So like, you were like on FaceTime when the baby was coming. Like yeah, you're like, you know, you get start, you start to see the commitment to their job, you know?
Tough guy, huh?
And these people are amazing people. Some of these people.
Yeah, they really are. And that's right. They have the best stories, best experiences. And you know, and you can tell also sometimes a lot of them, the consultants I speak with have friends, you know, they've kept in touch with them. And I always kind of look at that as a sign, you know, that they've kept in touch with the people that they've helped, you know, and that's little things, but they're big, and you know, that's one. Second thing I would say is ambiguity, and is a word I think we heard when we were talking with one of our clients earlier on starting the business, and it was something that I always looked for, but never actually thought of that word. Never, you know, when I heard it, I was like, that's it.
Ambiguity is a little ambiguous.
It is, yeah, not clear. And
what does that mean, ambiguity?
Yeah, I think the role. It takes somebody who is comfortable with things not being necessarily straightforward at every minute, things changing. They have to be flexible. They have to be adaptable. You know, you might prioritize one thing or have, you know, a thing that you're planning your day to do. And then, you know, half an hour later, something else changes. Something falls through and you got to jump and you got to pivot and do that. You know, you got to be able to really be adaptable and deal with the unknowns that are coming in.
Ooh, adaptable. I like that one too. Yeah, these are really good. I mean, I think this is, you know, and I think also we hear a lot of cliches in this business, but one of them, detail oriented. I think that, you know, the attention to detail.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I just took a cultural index, a CI test, and it was discovered that I was not very attentive to details.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that if we had a whole bunch of successful international relocation consultants take a CI, they would all be attentive to detail.
Yes.
That's key, because there's a lot of details going on and you're coordinating a lot of different services. Timing mm-hmm. is important. So that's one.
It's a big one, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Can international relocation consultant work remotely? Or are most of these jobs in office?
It's a big debate with a lot of our clients, right? Some of them feel that they have to be in the office. Some of them feel that they don't need to be. And it all depends on the preference, I think, of the hiring manager, to be honest. I think the argument you have is it's hard for people to be engaged and handle so many different things while they're at home. I'm telling you, I've spoken to some of the best consultants in the business, and they work remotely, and they're very successful at their job. They transitioned over 2 years ago. A lot of them, many of them weren't working remotely. I'd say most of the business in terms of consultants was not working remotely until COVID. That changed things for the industry. And you can see it. I mean, people are doing really well and they're working remotely and they love it. And they like the flexibility. They, because you know, you sometimes as an international consultant, you're speaking with people at all different times.
That's a great
So it's
point.
Huge to be able to wake up, like, you know what I do, wake up at 4 a.m. and be able to speak with somebody, or go speak to someone at 11 p.m, you know, and I almost think that can be an advantage to have someone at home.
It is an advantage, because if their desk is, you know, if they close down at 5, 6, 7
then that's it. They're not gonna,
And they go home, and Asia's just waking up, and they've got assignees over in Asia that they need to talk to. Yeah, 100%.
It's hard for them to ask them to do that after they've just been in the office the whole day. They have to commute home.
Yes.
And then they got to go home. They got to see their family. They got to go to sleep.
Right.
And then you ask them
make
to go on
dinner. You're hanging out. You're tucking the kids in. You're reading stories. You're doing your chores, whatever. You know, you got house, you know, you're doing stuff around the house and you're running errands. You got, you know, games. But if all day you've been able to like kind of like, you know, sometimes I throw a little pot roast on Danny, and, you know, in the kitchen around 11 and let that thing go in a crock pot.
Exactly.
You know, and so I'm kind of multitasking a little bit over here.
Throwing a little laundry, you know.
Yeah, throwing a load, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly. So, and I think you're going to, I think companies that are kind of transitioning over to this, you know, we only will need someone in the office full time. I hear it. But I think when it comes to a consultant, I think you're missing out on a lot of really good talent if you're only looking to hire people in your office.
That's well, and it gets hard when we need a GMS certification. We want, you know, 2+ years of experience at an RMC. And we're based in, you know, I'm going to say Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
Let's just pretend there was an RMC in Boise, Idaho.
Right, right.
Right? And you're like, well, there's no other RMCs in Boise, Idaho. How are you going to get someone with 2 years of experience? You know, it kind of doesn't
add exist.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist. That's
it doesn't
right.
exist, right?
So it's kind of interesting how the whole pandemic really did shift everything with this position. But and it turned it's and now it's going to be interesting to see what will happen with the return to office and how that'll affect the consultant position.
Yeah, it sure will. And if these consultants are going to go back, I think in some cases they're being asked to come back in and there's hybrid situations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you foresee this role being a in-office role in the future? To what extent?
I think it's going to move more toward the hybrid model.
Me too.
I'm sensing because I think it's going to, there's a lot of people that have gotten really used to working from home, a lot of great talent. And to get them to come in 5 days a week is going to be, I've spoken to a few of them. I think it's going to be really tough. I think that's my gut feeling on this.
I think it's going to be hard for people to find experienced people locally who can do this, who can do these roles.
Yeah, who can do these
unless roles. You're in Chicago, Dallas, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like unless you're in those cities, maybe San Francisco.
Chicago, maybe.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. It's going to be very hard to find talent that you've not already employed at one point in their career.
That's right.
So another good reason to use a recruiter to find those folks. Danny, this is really, really great. This is one of the most popular roles out there. There's a huge need for these folks. And this is really interesting.
Yeah, this is great. This is my favorite position to this day to recruit for. I love recruiting consultants.
Why is it your favorite position?
You know, I really enjoy the people that I work with. Like, honestly, I really do. I love the stories. I love their dedication, the work ethic that they have. I really, you know, I always connect really well with the people that I work with as consultants. And I feel like they're passionate. A lot of them really do love the business. They love what they do. And they, you know, a lot of them do it for the work and not necessarily the money. You know, they do it because they really enjoy doing it and they love the job.
Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. We hope this has been valuable for you out there. We hope that, you know, we wanted to speak directly to our global mobility community with this one. We're going to do a series of these about specific roles in global mobility and some of the most popular roles. We are going to talk about the domestic home sale consultant because that's very different. What are some of the other roles we're going to talk about, Danny?
We're going to talk about business development, compensation, payroll.
Wow. So we're getting in the weeds here. We're getting deep in it, man.
Yeah, we're going to
sounds
go through
great.
Everything.
Join us next week for that. Thank you so much for listening. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. Please leave us a 5-star review. It means the world to us. And if there's anything we can do for you, please reach out to us on LinkedIn. You can email me, Ben@Glomo. Or if you have a topic idea, we are more than open for those suggestions. Thanks everybody checking out Get Talent Podcast. We will see y'all next week. Hey, if you like the show today, please hit subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it so much. Also, feel free to connect with us on LinkedIn or check us out on Glomo.com. Get Talent Podcast.